When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Betting Above the Rim here on Sports Grid TV, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159, all across your streaming platforms, all your OTT devices. We appreciate you being here with us, spending this time on a Saturday morning in the prime of NBA final season. That's right, we had Game 1, played this Thursday night. It was a good one. It was the Boston Celtics coming back in impressive fashion in the fourth quarter to take a 1-0 lead over the Golden State Warriors, stealing home court away in Game 1 of the series. And now, of course, we have a Game 2 situation tomorrow. We're gearing up for that as Golden State right now booked as a 4-point home favorite in Game 2 against Boston. So as we look now at this NBA season and where we are and these teams that have finally made the finals, I want us to take a minute right now in this second half tip-off, and I want to send some appreciation to both sides here. And of course, those who know me know I am a large Celtics fan. I have been since I was a kid. This is very exciting for me to see them back in the finals. But first, I want to start talking about the Golden State Warriors and what a year they have had this year and what a run they have had, of course, over the past 5 to 7 years that we've seen, you know, them really be in the championship with regularity and on a consistent basis. So if we roll on this board right now, we can see some of the Warriors' stats from last season. 39-33, ninth in the Western Conference. Their points per game, 113.5. That's good for 13th in the NBA. And the points allowed per game, 112.5. That's good for 16th in the NBA. Of course, last season, Klay Thompson did not play at all. But this season, it's a completely different story for the Warriors here. 53-29 as their straight-up record right now. That's good for third in the West and really just behind Memphis for that two seed. Their points per game, 111.5. Still kind of towards the middle of the pack there, 12th overall, although it's been very good in the playoffs. They've been scoring at a very high clip, and we saw some of that in that first quarter against the Celtics. But their defense really has been the story of change for the Golden State Warriors this year. They currently have the fifth best defense in the NBA right now, in this regular season, I should say. And I think a big part of that is the emergence of Kevon Looney. It's Draymond Green coming back to health. It's even guys like, you know, Klay Thompson getting back in the mix for them. Andre Iguodala now in the finals, serving as another warm body with some great defensive experience to throw on these guys. And I think the Warriors' depth too, right? You know, you go down their bench and it's still guys athletic who can defend. You have a guy like Jonathan Kuminga coming off the bench there, Moses Moody, they're rookies there. So really impressive stuff for Golden State. And of course, Klay Thompson, I think, really is the biggest factor in why their success has been as it has been this season. Of course, he has not played since the 2018-2019 NBA Finals, appeared in 32 games this year, making his much anticipated return. And we weren't necessarily expecting Clay to play every single game, right? You know, a guy coming off of an ACL injury into an Achilles injury, or maybe the other way around. But it's always a tough spot when you have two devastating injuries back-to-back like that. So we didn't expect him to play all of the games this season. I think 32 is a very nice number for him to start to slowly get back into the fold. But as we're seeing for the Warriors right now, they do need him to find that previous finals form that he was in. You know, when we go back and look at those 2016 to 2018 NBA finals, Klay was an absolute flamethrower and really just as much of a threat as Steph Curry to drop 30 plus on a given night. Now that's not really the case for Golden State, and that's why it's so important for Klay to get going. We saw last game how tough it was for Steph when he was really out there by himself scoring with a little help from Andrew Wiggins. So Klay does need to step up here. A welcome to our radio audience here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. John Shames here on Betting Above the Rim Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. or to 12 p.m. Yes, noon. I should say. And we're here, we're taking you through kind of some of the big turnarounds this season for these two NBA Finals teams. And we talked about the Warriors and their differences from last season to this. The Celtics, on the other hand, made their improvements in the middle of the season. And we saw after 41 games, the Boston Celtics were under 500, 20 and 21 at the halfway point of the season. Their points per game, 107.7, that's 19th, not great. Opponents' point per game, still in that top 10 for their defense right there. But look at the numbers, and I'll read them out for our radio audience, in that second half of the season. 51 and 31 is their record. So someone who can do math better than I can figure out what that stretch looked like in the second half of the season, but absolutely dominant for the Celtics. Points per game up a little bit to 14th in the league, 111 points per game. And that defense really was the game changer. Despite having the ninth rated defense for the first half of the season, their defense was so good in the second half that they climbed up nine spots or eight spots to become the first rated overall defense in the NBA. So really, really fantastic seasons for both of these teams. And now we're seeing a very tough series, and a series that a lot of people have had a hard time predicting, as these two teams kind of have some similar profiles in how they play. But I'm going to do that right now, because what fun would this be if I wasn't making my official pick? So not only am I going to pick Celtics in six, which I have been rolling with for the entire time and since before the series started, I'm also going to give you the exact win order that I think is going to happen here in this game. I know I got about 30 seconds left here, so I'm going to go through it quick. We got Boston winning game one. We already saw that result, obviously. Golden State bounces back in game two, I think. Boston takes game three at home, their first game. Game four, I believe in the zigzag theory. I think that Golden State plays with some urgency. And then game five, go back to Golden State. I think that's the one that Boston steals on the road, because I do believe they are the better team. And then finally, going back to game six, playing with some urgency, that's where they close it out. That payout, if you bet it, plus 2,200. You heard it here first. Stick right here. Knuckleheads up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Rolling along here on this fine Saturday morning on June 4th, 2022. It's finals season, and we've been taking you all around the NBA finals here, giving you some breakdowns from game one, some takeaways, some early looks at game two, and of course, the series prices overall. But right now in this segment, we deviate a little bit from all of that because we got to get fun here. We got to go into one of our favorite segments every week. That's Knuckleheads. All right, so for this Knucklehead session, no JY today, but we do have another valued member of the team, a very valued member of the team, maybe an MVP, one might say, our producer for the show, Andrew Bocci-Galupo, joining me this morning, live from the producer's pit down there in the control room. Bocci, thanks so much for being here. I know you were the one who picked out a lot of these knuckleheads, and I went through them, and let me say, they are some good ones here. So excited to be here, excited to break down some of our favorite funny moments from the NBA this week.
Oh, I'm very excited. We have a ton of knuckleheads. I was almost like cracking up laughing, like tears coming out of my eyes from a couple of these videos that we have in this segment. So we'll get right into it right away. The first one, James, a staple in knuckleheads, Anthony Edwards. You need him to go do it, he's going to go do it. And right now, he's thinking he's in the top five. Anthony Edwards with his top five NBA players of all time. He has LeBron James, of course, has to be in the top five. Kevin Durant is up there as well. Shaquille O'Neal, Allen Iverson, and Anthony Edwards. What do you think of his top five, James? You think that's a solid five all time in the NBA?
I think I would not expect Anthony Edwards to pick any other starting five that does not feature himself in it. I think one of my favorite things about that is the way that they phrased that tweet originally, right? That they just dropped it in second. So it wasn't like Anthony Edwards was like the fifth person on the list. He just casually threw himself and there's like, oh yeah, you know, AI, myself, LeBron. Like it was just so casual. I think that's so classic by Ant Edwards. And I'm surprised we didn't see his dog on that list, Ant Edwards Jr., who's also a baller. But maybe that'll make the second team all-time NBA list for Anthony Edwards, Bocci.
Maybe so. His dog is a baller, just like Anthony Edwards. Maybe Anthony Edwards will get there at some day. But for now, I think he's got a little catching up to do to get to the greats, only in his second year in the NBA. We move on to the Four Letter Network, one of their analysts, Kendrick Perkins. What are you doing? Kendrick Perkins dressing up like he's ready to lock himself up. Cuff himself and going to jail. Him and Mrs. Puff matching, twinning, of them in the black and white stripes. Kendrick Perkins wearing that yesterday to kind of throw shots at the Golden State Warriors of how they got locked up by the Boston Celtics in game one. Kendrick Perkins, somebody put this guy in jail the way he went out with that outfit.
Yeah, that was an interesting fit. And we do also feature a lot of interesting fits here on Knucklehead. So this is the one of this week that really makes our eyes turn in a strange direction there. Yeah, Kendrick Perkins, pretty interesting there. I wonder if he knew that he was stealing the Mrs. Puff look there from SpongeBob. I can't say that I feel like Kendrick Perkins is an avid SpongeBob fan, but hey, I don't know the guy. He might be a big children's book fan as well. Who knows about Kendrick Perkins? All right, Bocci, let's go into this next one here. And you picked this one out. I know you're a big Star Wars fan. Let us know what's going on here in this one.
So Miles Turner is actually a big Star Wars guy, but he's also a big Lego guy. There was a TikTok trending with Miles Turner showing off all of his Legos, but now he has the ultimate Lego, a life-size, 7-foot replica Darth Vader, but it's not Darth Vader, it's Darth Turner. Miles Turner as Darth Vader built in Legos. That's pretty impressive, James. I would love to have one of those of myself in my house.
Seriously, I mean, I don't – something tells me that Miles Turner did not build that himself, which I kind of feel like is part of the fun of Legos, right? Isn't that the whole thing, is that you build it yourself and you're so proud and whatever? I don't know. I was not maybe the biggest Legos kid. Although, Bachi, I will say, yesterday I was walking down the street and I saw this guy wearing a shirt that had the Lego logo with the, you know, their style of text. And there was no L. It just said Ego. And I was like, oh, fantastic shirt. I got to get me one
that's
of
tough.
Those. Yeah. Yeah. Big time. Big time. All right, Bachi, what do we got up next here?
All right, so moving on to this next one, we may have to play it a couple times. We were dying in the pit when we were making the rundown for this. So there is a pair of orange Nike Dunks hanging on some electrical wires in New York City, and people are trying to get them down. They're pushing porta potties into the middle of the street, trying to get down the sneakers. Let's roll this clip in. You see this guy on top of a porta potty, jumping off, trying to grab the sneakers.
Oh my god.
Totally breaking ankles, shattering dreams. This guy, Jesus. I don't even know what his status is on his health, but I'm sure those legs aren't feeling too good.
Dude,
my ankles are feeling that. I'm like one of those guys, whenever I fall from a height like that, maybe it's just because I have weak ankle bones, but I always feel that go up my entire leg, and that's just what I'm seeing when I watch that. Not a tough look for that guy, and probably not worth it for that pair of shoes, but hey, everyone's got different priorities, right? I'm not jumping off porta potties for that, but I'm just one man. I'm clearly not as cool as that dude. So, all right, we'll gear up this next one here right now. It's another video, and it's Bachi, one of Bachi's choices here, and it's from the series Is This Basketball or Not? I'm not sure if this is basketball, but this is certainly quite the poster slam. Big dunk right there. Oh, and he gets in his face, looking like Sean Kemp right there after that big dunk. Maybe the finger wag as well. And here we go. On the other side, the lob. Oh, there is the jam in this backyard session of, I'm not exactly sure, honestly, what is in that backyard session. I don't really know what game that is, but that looks fun. I wish I was a kid and I got to play backyard basketball. It kind of almost looks like a combination of basketball and handball in a way, we might say. So very interesting there. A look from Bachi's series. Is this basketball or is this not basketball? All right. So I think we do have Bachi back with me here in just a moment. We're going to gear up this next knuckleheads here. And of course, we saw in the playoffs so far, right? We saw in this series, the Boston Celtics in all of their series so far, shooting the absolute lights out. Bachi found this great meme on Twitter this week. And it's basically, it's from The Simpsons. And it's a classic tale of when will they learn? So in it, we have the Brooklyn Nets fans and the Milwaukee Bucks fans saying, say it to Bart Simpson, say the line. And then Bart with his Warriors cap looking down, all sad, all upset. The Celtics can't shoot like this forever. And then everyone laughs at it because that's exactly what the Celtics have done every series so far. Every series, you know, we've been hearing, oh, they're not going to sustain the shooting. It's not going to keep up. But here we are in the NBA Finals, and the Celtics have been doing it the whole time. Botch, that's a good find right there on that meme.
Just add me to the list. I wish I was better at Photoshop because I would have just Photoshopped myself as the kid with the Brooklyn Nets hat. I was one of those people in the Nets series saying that. So make me a knucklehead. Put me on the graphic. Maybe in the future. But, yeah, I'm a knucklehead along with the others who think the Celtics cannot knock down threes.
I am on the good side of that argument, Bachi. I am a believer in the Celtics shooting ability. All right, one last video for the people right now. This is a kind of a classic situation. We've seen this happen with Rajon Rondo, but now, right now, it's Lamar Odom, the latest victim of, oh my God, it's another NBA player. Let's roll the video.
Oh my
guys.
God, I knew that was you, bro. My favorite basketball player, bro. Kevin Garnett, bro. Kevin Garnett, bro.
Not Kevin Garnett. That is Lamar.
Not Kevin Garnett.
You Kevin Garnett, bro. Bro, give me a picture.
He's a good sport, Bob. He's a good sport.
Oh, damn, dog.
Yeah, he was a good sport.
My name is Lamar. Hey, get this, bro. Get this. I'll show you how I do it, bro.
He tried to cross up Lamar on him.
He did. Lamar, I hope he's doing well. Of course, a lot of history with Lamar Odom.
Oh,
happy to see that he mostly
preview.
Seems to have everything.
What is this?
Everything going. Oh, wow.
What
we do have to roll this in.
What is this?
One more. Roll this in. Still a good team. That's Bachi right there. And that's Bocci's ex-girlfriend winning an award together. And I think they are still a good team. Bachi, you got about 15 seconds here to give us your quick thoughts.
Yeah, this past weekend, my ex-girlfriend and I winning a PCLI of Long Island Award. Congrats to us. We still make a good team.
There you go. Maybe bring her back, Bocci. We'll get her on the show soon enough. But now it's Kate Constable joining.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Betting Above the Rim here on a Saturday morning. John Shames for the full 2 hours today, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. noon Eastern time. And right now, we have a very special guest joining me here on the show, an NBA handicapper, a host for BetUS, the host of their basketball show. That is Kate Constable joining me here to get some of her thoughts on the NBA Finals. Of course, so much good action the other night to talk about, and now a lot of betting markets opening up. So we bring in Kate here to get her thoughts and help us find some maybe some hidden value and where we should be looking for the NBA Finals series. So Kate, thanks so much for being here. You were excellent the other night. Friend of the Sports Grid Network, or the Spiz Grizz, as we like to call it here in the mornings. I'm very excited to be here with you, Kate.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk some NBA.
Let us do exactly that. And let's start by diving into some of the things that we saw from that Game 1 series. And full disclosure, Kate and I did talk off air, and we are on the same side for this series. Both of us were on the Celtics, and I was on the Celtics for that Game 1 situation, and I come out as a very happy camper because the Celtics, Kate, get the 120 to 108 lead. The total of this game smashes the over after the Celtics go on a massive 40 to 16 run in that fourth quarter, including 17 unanswered points by the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors, finally ending that with about 2 minutes to go. Kate, when you look at this game and how the flow of it went, we, of course, saw Golden State in the third quarter really playing well, looking like they were ready to fling the doors off of this game and take the lead for good. But Boston came back with a vengeance. What was the difference in your mind from that third quarter to that fourth quarter, and what allowed Boston to gain control?
Well, for starters, I was on Boston for the series, but I was on Golden State in that game. So in that third quarter, they're up by 14. I had to take a shower, brush my teeth, get ready for bed. You know, I'm not even watching the game thinking we have this in the bag. I go and flip the TV back on, and all of a sudden the Celtics are up in the fourth, and I'm out a little money. So not a great ending for me. But in that fourth quarter, I think it was Marcus Smart that was the difference. I mean, he was kind of in like that linebacker role where he let Draymond Green kind of do whatever he wanted, and Smart was helping off on other players and doubling and doing so many things defensively and kind of like manning that back line. And I think he was the difference defensively for the Celtics. Offensively, I mean, Al Horford, Derek White, Marcus Smart, once again, they were knocking down threes like no one's business. And the Warriors, that almost seemed to be their game plan, was to leave those three open and say, okay, you three beat us. We're going to worry about Tatum and Brown, but you three do the damage. And they did quite the damage, and all of a sudden a double-digit deficit turns into a double-digit win for the Celtics, which was quite impressive.
Yeah, certainly so. And that really was the big difference, right? It was those three guys for the Boston Celtics stepping up, and Marcus Smart had a very big game, scoring, I think, 18 points in that. Al Horford, of course, and Derek White both going over 20. Kate, is that sustainable for the Celtics? Of course, you're not going to have those three guys all scoring 20 points every night, but do you expect at least one of those guys to be able to step up on a nightly basis for the Celtics and give Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown some help in the scoring department?
Well, I think so. We've seen that all postseason, even towards the end of the regular season. I mean, Derek White, well, during his time in San Antonio, he wasn't the best three-point shooter. He struggled a bit. But as this season has gone on, once he was traded to the Celtics, he's kind of found himself within that team and has started to knock down the three ball at a much higher clip than he used to. So I certainly think at least one of them is going to get hot. I don't think all three of them are able to sustain this shooting all throughout the series. And so I am interested to see how Golden State makes any adjustments or if they feel like they have to, because Draymond Green even said in a post-game press conference, you know, they're not going to do that again. They're not going to be able to do that four times in order to beat them and win this series. So it'll be interesting to see what adjustments are made. But Al Horford's been fantastic. He's playing some of the best basketball of his career right now. So I don't think you can just leave those three open and say, okay, you guys do it. And I mean, Jason Tatum, even not scoring a ton, he was facilitating. So he's turned into this role where if he's not having the night that he wants, he's still being effective and obviously getting those other players open. So yes, I don't think it's fully sustainable to see the amount of threes that we saw in game one, but certainly the Warriors need to make a few adjustments to get out in the perimeter.
Yeah, and the Warriors will definitely be making some adjustments. But, Kate, one of the places we did not see an adjustment is in the line for game two now. And maybe a sign that the book does not feel that Al Horford, Marcus Smart, and Derek White are going to be able to even closely replicate what they did in game one there. Because as it opened up here, it was a 3.5-point spread, went up to 4.5. Now it's back down to 4. The hook getting dropped earlier this morning or late last night, I believe. Kate, are you surprised to not really see any movement after Boston as a road dog goes in and wins outright in Golden State after game one?
Slightly. I kind of feel like this is the books just baiting us, wanting us to take the Celtics. But yeah, I mean, it hasn't moved much, and I'm not sure I'd be willing to lay the 4 again with Golden State. I might be looking a little bit more at some quarter bets, first quarter, third quarter, obviously, for the Warriors. But I think the Celtics deserve a little bit more credit in this line, and certainly the series price has flipped in favor of the Celtics. So that's got to tell you something when that price flips, but yet the line for game two pretty much stays the same. I think something's a little funky there.
Yeah, I'm happy you brought up that series, Prey K, because that is where I wanted to go next. Of course, the Celtics opened up as an underdog in this series, and now an even stronger favorite at minus 170 than Golden State was as they opened the series as the favorite. I believe Golden State was minus 140 when the series started. Is that an overreaction to game one, knowing that we had three reserve players, or role players, I should say, for the Celtics combined for over 60 points? Is that series price a bit of an overreaction, do you think? Or is it really, once home court is gone now for the Warriors, the Celtics really do have the advantage now?
No, I think that's right. I think the Celtics really do have the advantage. And you talk about those role players that stepped up. Well, where were Jason Tatum's points in that game? So even if you take out, you know, half the points from the three of those other players, you add in Tatum's points and you know, the game is in a similar space. So I think it's just fine. I think the Celtics are the better team in this series, and they certainly showed that in game one. So no, I mean, the safe bet, people think the Warriors, being their experience, they have veterans, they've been here before, you know, they're automatically going to come out and be the favorite and win this series. That's not going to be the case, I don't think. This is going to be a much harder fought series than most Warriors fans think we're in for.
I think you were right about that, Kate. I certainly agree with you. And you bring up Jason Tatum, right, and his struggles in game one. I do think we've seen from Tatum in this postseason that he does follow up his poor performances, of which he has had a few, but he follows that up with a big game as well. So let's actually take a look at some of these game two props. An early look right now for Jason Tatum, his points right now, the prop hanging at 27.5. The under is juiced in that. The assist prop, 5.5. He smashed that last game with 13 assists. The three-point prop also heavily juiced on the under, but it's 3.5, which is a bit high in my opinion after seeing Tatum struggle so much last game. Kate, do you expect Tatum to return to his normal form here? And of those props, does anything catch your eye that we want to look at for Jason Tatum here?
Yeah, I am expecting a big game out of Jason Tatum in game two. We've seen that in every series thus far. When he's had a down game, he comes out and really performs and puts on a show in that next game. So, I mean, yeah, the juice is a little much for some of his points props, but like we just saw on the screen, I mean, add that with a Boston Celtics win and it's plus 350. That's not a bad take right there. But I certainly expect a big game from him, and I expect him to get going early. I see them running quite a few plays early on to kind of get him more involved in that offense and get his rhythm back under him. So I would be fine taking the points, even laying the juice. The 3.5 threes, that's not a terrible look either. I mean, that's a lot, but we've seen him do that how many times? And just because, you know, he had a down game, maybe that scares you off that little, but I don't hate that.
Yeah, I do think it's certainly possible if Tatum has a big game that the three-point shooting is going to go hand-in-hand with that. And I really like that point that you brought up about the Celtics trying to run plays for Tatum to get him going early in the game. I think when we saw him come out in game one, he looked visibly nervous in the warm-ups and during the national anthem. And then he comes out and he starts kind of forcing some shots and pulling up in ISO situations to start off. You like that he's hunting for his shot, but it's on the Celtics coaching staff to make it easy for him too. So, Kate, on the other side, it's Stephen Curry, of course, for the Golden State Warriors, had a fantastic game one with scoring 34 points there, 21 of those points coming in the first quarter. And then he really slowed down after that. What do you expect that we can see from Steph here in game two and knowing that the Celtics are going to try to adjust and avoid getting him those open shots?
I mean, it's Steph Curry. You got to expect a big game from him every time he's out on the floor. But I would maybe go with his points under in this second game, knowing that the Warriors need to get Jordan Poole a little bit more involved. Klay Thompson needs to step up a little bit. And it's really when the Warriors are at their best is when all four of Klay, Steph, Andrew Wiggins, and Jordan Poole are shooting the ball well and scoring well. So you look at his points, 28.5. I mean, to the over, that's juice minus 120. I might take the under on that, especially knowing the Celtics, like you said, are going to get out and cover him a little bit more and not let him get off to a 6-6 start in the first quarter.
Yeah, I think that's a good look. And I actually think, I mean, what we know about Steph is he's kind of notorious for having these dud games in the finals, especially after a big performance. So I think that is certainly within the realm of possibility. Quickly, Kate, we only have about 30 seconds left here, but I do want to get your thoughts on the NBA Finals MVP market, I should say, knowing that Jason Tatum and Stephen Curry are at the top of that list. Jason Tatum plus 130, Steph Curry plus 145. Those are the two obvious ones. Kate, I want to ask you really only about 15 seconds here. Is there anyone else on that list that you think has some sleeper value?
Yeah, I think Marcus Smart and Andrew Wiggins are the two. If the Celtics win, I like Smart. I think his defense and what he's provided for this team, the spark he provides for him is MVP caliber an asset there. And then also Andrew Wiggins, if he gets going, that's the key to the Warriors.
A great look there from Kay Constable. Thank you so much for joining us. Catch her on BetUS. We'll be right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so it is time for our last long segment of the day here on Betting Above the Rim, Saturday morning. Some good fun here with our guy, the consigliere. That was my best one yet, Dave. That was literally my best one yet. Dave Sharapan is going to be here with me for the next 14 minutes here, and we are going to have an excellent time helping you find the edge to beat the book. And there's only one man to do it, and that is our sportsbook consigliere. So, Dave, we're going to start first by talking about some of these NBA Finals reactions from Game 1 as it relates to the line and how it's being booked in both the series price and in the Game 2 line as well. But before we do that,
yes,
let me know what you thought about my consigliere right there, and also how are you doing this morning?
That was by far your best one yet. You've been doing it at a level that is already championship level. So what you just did was what the Celtics did in game one in the fourth quarter. That was a legendary performance and a legendary way of saying it. Yes. So, man, this hair, this glasses look.
I got to cut.
I don't know what you're doing. I mean, it's really I feel like I got to really ramp up my game. This is you coming. This is really strong. I'm impressed.
You're such a stud, Dave. I appreciate you, but you are also a stud. Your hat game is absolutely unmatched. What do we got? The Phillies today, right? Is that a Phillies hat today. Right there?
Yeah.
You're going full Phillies get up here. An interesting move. I would expect you to be rocking some Rangers gear after last night, Dave. A big win for the Rangers. Not too far away from me here in Midtown Manhattan. But anyway, let's not talk about hockey. We'll talk about hockey another time with you on another show. Dave, this is the basketball show, and we're here to talk about the NBA Finals, all right?
It is.
NBA Finals. And let's first talk about game one, okay? 120-108 is that final score. Of course, the Celtics making a massive, massive comeback in the fourth quarter, shooting 9 for 12 as a team in the fourth quarter from three-point land. And of course, Derek White, Al Horford, Marcus Smart, three guys not necessarily known for their three-point shooting, really an instrumental part of that win. Dave, do you think that has anything to do with the fact that we're seeing the game two line now booked very similar, if not exactly the same, as it was for game one, despite the Celtics winning and stealing that game?
So one of the things that you learn in the book, you know, and after doing it for so long, is that the results don't matter much to the line in the playoffs when everything stays the same. Game one was in Golden State, and it was a four-point spread, 4.5. It bounced around and went down to 3.5. The same exact place. They're playing the same exact time. Everything is the same. Injuries are the same. The line's the same, despite the fact that Boston won and covered a big number. Like, they won by double digits. So it's strange. It's hard to relate to from the bettor's point of view and somebody new to the business. But it's like, all right, what was the game one line? Would it close? Would they bet? Okay, put up 4 and 215. I mean, that's how it comes up. Because the thing that moved the most is the total. It opened up 210.5 for game one. It closed 214. Now, the books saw the threes going in as well as the people and know that's the style of play this may be. So they adjusted the total. The line knows the same because, I mean, we can't lose sight of the fact that Golden State was winning by double digits going into the fourth quarter, and it's only 4. So I think you have to look at it from both sides there. Did you think the line should be lower when you saw this number initially?
I mean, honestly, that was my first reaction, yeah, but I'm also a believer that I just think the Celtics are the better team overall, and I think that they proved in game one that they can win, you know, a varying level of game script. There's still multiple paths of victory for the Celtics. So I was actually a little bit surprised to see that booked at the same. And I, actually, Dave, the over, I mean, I thought that was going to be higher. The total, they smashed the total in that first game. So to see not much movement there, I know there was a bit, but not much movement, really. That's what surprised me.
The total is a big move. And for 4 points from the opening number to be different the next game, that is a big move. It doesn't seem like a lot. It's two baskets. But that to start that number, that is a big adjustment. Where you're talking about the Celtics being the better team, you see the adjustment in the series price, right?
Right.
I mean, it was Golden State minus 160-ish, and now – it's completely flipped the other way because the Celtics have taken over home court and proven that they can win on the road. So the book has to adjust now. If somebody's coming to the book to make a play or going on their phone, who are they going to bet, James? They're going to bet the Celtics now, right?
Right. Right.
So you have to go get the Warriors money, and that's why you see the series price be adjusted to what it is.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense, Dave. I will say, you know, a very strong flip right there for the Celtics right now. And certainly, I think a lot of it, like you said, is just the proof in the pudding, right? Is they came out and they won that game one situation. They show that they can take advantage of the game. Dave, I do actually wonder on that note, though, how much of the series movement do you think after game one, you know, is that usually if a dog wins, is that the most movement on the series price that we'll see on an individual game basis? You know, given that you're going from having no sample size of seeing these two teams play against one another to now that's your first look at it, do you think that that's a reason for substantial series price early on?
Well, I think now you see the finals, NBA finals, move a little bit differently than the round before. And then you see that round move more than the first round, like, because there's always more games. The NBA finals is a perishable item. Right, there's only maximum 6 more NBA games in the season, and then we're done with that, and we have one less thing to bet on. So I think you see some books maybe move it more aggressively, you know, in that regard to try to generate more action. The other reason why the series price moves so much in the NBA Finals is because of the future liability. The Warriors were a moderate favorite all season. There's probably not a lot of, like, exposure. There's maybe a lot of tickets and a lot of money on it, but it's not going to put a dent in too much. The Celtics were 50-1 at one point in January when they were a bad basketball team. There's a lot of people with a lot of futures. There's probably some books with some big red numbers looking at this thing going, all right, the Celtics may actually win this now. Overmove it. Let's get some Golden State money right now to try to offset some of that possible loss. So there's a different way of thinking it. It's not just what's happening on the court. There's a lot of moving parts behind it all.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense, especially when you factor in the idea of futures being bet so early in the season at these ridiculous prices, of course.
Right.
There is going to be some liability there. Dave, I want to actually direct your attention quickly over to the prop side of things and kind of the approach for how the bookmakers are handling this after we saw three guys for the Celtics, Derek White, Al Horford, and Marcus Smart, all play well beyond their norms in that first game. Marcus Smart, 18 points, and White and Horford both over 20. But in game two, we're seeing those props kind of fall back down to earth a bit. Derek White set at 9.5, Al Horford set at 11.5, and Marcus Smart still kind of steamed up 14.5 right now. He's been playing very well. Dave, what do you make of the props in game two, and how does that work in terms of the reaction from a game-to-game basis? You know, we obviously know that 20 points, scoring 20 points is a big deal for those guys. Not really much belief in them for game two, it would seem.
No, the thing about those, and the prop market is interesting because you have a bigger sample size. You use the numbers from the full season, and you can't overreact to what just happened. And one big game from somebody or a big game from two people, the numbers move slight. And the odds maker mentality is you can't do it again. You know, so you actually lower the number to try to entice more bets on the over, so you need the under. Now, odds makers are stubborn. Books are sometimes they just won't even see what's in front of them. Keep in mind, the Rangers were dogs again to the Lightning yesterday. I mean, there's things that you see, and you go, you're not watching the games. So sometimes we can find those spots as bettors and go, look, they don't know anything either. I say it all the time. Nobody knows squadoosh. There's a reason for that. Sometimes they're wrong too. So if you see something that you like and the book moves a number, don't get caught up in that line movement. I'm amazed, James, at the in-game stuff. Like the in-game prop market is really a fluid thing. And I think like tomorrow night, I think that you're going to see a lot of movement. Like when Steph was getting hot, that number was going up. It was going up, you know? And now the first one to regress or not do what he did is Horford, right? Horford cannot do what he just did in game one again, can he? He's not going to get those open looks and make almost all of the shots that he takes. So I think that would be the one of those three that you mentioned that I would look to probably play under, and I think bad guys will look to do that. But, man, it's fun. I mean, the series is fun. I think Golden State's going to provide – do you think this is going to be a sweep or a five-game series?
I don't think a five-game series is out of the question. So, like, I picked six to begin with, and I really was feeling good after the Celtics win that first game. I'm still going to roll with Celtics in six. And, Dave, that's a good thing that you brought that up, because I do want to direct your attention to a couple things here. The first being the correct score market that we have for the NBA Finals here. Fascinating, okay? So the Celtics 4-2, that's the shortest price. That's plus 310. Warriors 4-3 is the second shortest price at plus 350. So only 40 cents of movement between or of difference between those two prices. But the strangest thing to me, Dave, is that the Celtics at 4-0 and the Celtics at 4-3, so to sweep or to win in seven, are both plus 600. What can you explain that, the reason that those two prices would be equal? That was fascinating to me, Dave.
There's no explanation. There's absolutely no explanation. I mean,
nobody knows who it is.
That's what I mean. Can it be that far apart of a scenario, a Boston sweep or a Boston win in game seven on the road, the same price? Doesn't make any sense. So that tells me they actually took bets on the sweep and had to bring that number down. That number was much higher than that. Without seeing the line history on it, that number was way higher. And it's been brought down because I think after game one, the thought that, geez, if they win game two, they're not losing a home game. They actually could sweep this thing. So I think people will bet that. I personally don't think it's going to happen. I think Golden State figures it out and wins game two. And I think we're in store for a 6 or 7 game series. Now, the natural thing for that to be the favorite, James, is Boston in 6, win the home game. Golden State in 7, win their home game. That's right. Why those two are the favorites.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. And actually, I do want to give you my official prediction. I gave this out earlier in the show, Dave, at the top of this hour. But FanDuel has the NBA Finals exact win order as a market that's available. So a ton of different permutations, that you can bet on here. So what I think is going to happen, Dave, is the Celtics, we obviously saw take game one. I'm a believer in your zigzag theory to an extent here. So the Celtics take game one. I think the Warriors bounce back in game two. First home game up in Boston, they're going to take it. I'm going to be at that game. They better take that, Dave, in game three. Game four, I think Golden State comes out. Boston's feeling confident. They know that they have the edge because they're at home. And they come out and Golden State wins. Then I think the urgency starts for Boston. They win game five, and then they go home, and they know they don't want to have to go back to Golden State. And unlike
the Miami
series,
they close it out. What does that pay?
+2,300, Dave. +2,300.
We might be going to a concert in September if you hit that, baby.
That's what I'm saying, man. That is what I'm saying. Dave Sharapan here, giving us the winning edge, helping us beat the book. NETC shout out. Keep it right here. One more segment.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, our 2 hours for today is coming to a close here on Betting Above the Rim on Sports Grid TV. John Shames, I've been with you here since 10 a.m. Eastern, going for another 2 minutes here before we're back at it. Tomorrow morning, I'll be in for Kevin Walsh here from the Midtown Manhattan studio, and we're going to be doing a game day edition of Betting Above the Rim and giving you winners. That is what we do. And right now, that is exactly what we're going to do in our Best Bet segment. Of course, the whole crew getting involved in this one. We do need a pick from Jason, our board operator, at some point, but not today. For now, we're going to stick with the production staff here. So first up, we have Jack Weinberger, our associate producer, going with the Pirates moneyline. Classic Jack, going a baseball play here. -134 against the D-backs right now. It's I think that is a pretty classic Jack play. We do see him make some consistent money on the Pittsburgh Pirates right now. And Davies on the mound for the Diamondbacks. He's been struggling. That will be an interesting spot to see if Pittsburgh can get it done. Probably why they are a favorite in this game. Bocci's going back to the NBA. My guy, going Tatum over 5.5 assists. This was Bocci's debut pick on his series, Coffee and Picks with Bocci, which made it to Twitter earlier this week. Tatum smashing 5.5 assists in the first quarter, ends with 13. I love that play for Tatum. I think he's really shown an ability to make adjustments on the fly against this Golden State Warriors coverage that likes to throw blitzes at him as he comes off the high screen and roll. So love to see that play by Bocci. And, -120, a little bit of juice on it, but I will still lay it. And Jesse, our guy Jesse right here, he is going with another baseball pick this evening. He is going to be picking, if we can roll that graphic in one more time so I can see it. Oh, it's the Guardians money line. They're telling me in my ear right now. The Guardians money line today against the Orioles. -126 for the Cleveland Guardians here. And Jesse yesterday hitting on a Padres best bet. And he's at it again. He is one of the sharpest in the business. John Shames here for the full 2 hours. Big thanks to Coach James Young, Kay Constable, Antonio Williams, Dave Sharapan, Bocci, the entire crew here on Betting Above the Rim. Back at it again tomorrow. We'll see you then.